pray as we prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord this morning. Father, I know that you desire to speak into each and every heart and life here. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would give me a quickening, an understanding, Lord, to speak forth your word as you desire. Lord, that each one will hear what you're saying to their heart, to their life, Lord. And Father, I just give you the praise and the glory for any results in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God. Well, we're in the middle of a series that grace is for everyone. And I want to tell you, I believe that with all of my heart, that all of us need God's grace. And that grace is available to every person, no matter how horrible they may seem, no matter what walk of life they are from, no matter what age, what skin color, what culture, none of that matters. God's grace is available to every person. And you know, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Apostle Paul has had by far the greatest impact on the world for the cause of Christ. Now, there are probably some people in our generation that have actually personally won more people to Jesus than the Apostle Paul did personally. But every person throughout history for the last 2,000 years that's come to Christ has been impacted by the ministry of the Apostle Paul because of what the Holy Spirit wrote through him. But not only that, all of the churches that he started and the many, many, many people that he was a father to spiritually. And I'll tell you that if we were to trace it all back to that early church, what a tremendous impact the Apostle Paul has had upon our world and upon the church and even upon our lives personally, whether we know it or not. He wrote so much of the New Testament and had such a tremendous impact. You know, much of the teaching of God's grace came through the Apostle Paul. But not just that, many other great revelations and teachings and doctrine of the church came through the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, nobody surpasses Paul in his commitment and his passion, his service for the Lord. He was a great man. And this great man says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I think every Christian ought to know those words. Every Christian ought to be able to speak those words out of their own heart. Not to be pious, not to put on some kind of spiritual air, but truly from the heart to realize and to know that I am what I am by the grace of God. I am a work of God. If I'm anything good at all, it is because God's grace is at work in me. Now, I'm telling you this morning, if Paul became a great man by the grace of God, then there's hope for us. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. Amen. That same grace that made Paul what he was is able to make us into something. You know, there's a philosophy in our world today that's even gotten into the church, and it is part of the humanistic philosophy. It is the self-made man. I am what I am by my own intelligence, my own character and strength, and by my own hard work. I am what I am. What I have achieved and I've accomplished is because I'm smarter and stronger or more determined or I worked harder or I went to school and I paid my dues. I am what I am. And there's that often quoted verse, God helps those who help themselves. It doesn't really matter that it's not in the Bible. But it amazes me how that even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this humanistic attitude creeps in. And it keeps us from the grace of God. That self-help philosophy is rooted in pride. It glorifies and emphasizes our abilities and our strengths and our goodness instead of God's. It points to what we have done instead of to what God has done and what He is doing in us. None of us were saved by what we did. You know, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, I just want to point out to you, it doesn't say that the worst of what we've done is filthy rags. No, it says even our righteousness is filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. We need to remember that we all have received a gift of righteousness, that it is He who has made us righteous. And apart from the grace of God, the Bible declares that there is none good, no, not one. Now, if you have your Bible, you might turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read 8 through 10 just quickly. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And there are some very key principles here about grace that we need to review frequently. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I just want to remind you, it's by grace we're saved through faith. And that is a gift from God. That salvation by grace is a gift from God so that no one can boast. You see, there is no room in the body of Christ for any pride. There is no room for any boasting because it is all by what He has done and not we ourselves have done. But then it makes this statement in verse 10, we are God's workmanship. I am what I am by the grace of God. We are God's workmanship. We are what God is making. Amen. We are not self-made people. No, every person that ever lived was made by God. Nobody's ever made themselves. And I want to remind you, just as we cannot be good enough on our own to be saved, we cannot truly be something good on our own. It is a gift of righteousness that He's given to us and made us righteous. And you know, as I read the Bible, I don't find a God who helps those who helps them help themselves or who helps the wise. I don't find a God who helps the strong and helps the somebodies. But I find a God who helps the helpless and who helps the weak. And He helps the foolish. And He helps those who by the standards of this world are nobody. That's the God I read about in the Bible, a God who cares about the weak, a God who cares about the outcast and the downcast. I see in the Bible a God who helps those who can't help themselves. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, it says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. They didn't pick many wise. Well, not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. I'm telling you this morning, God doesn't need our intelligence, our strength, our nobility, our power and influence. No, He's chosen the weak, the foolish. He's chosen the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one can boast. It's all God. I'm telling you, it is by the grace of God. If we are anything at all, it is by His grace. Pride is the root sin that is behind so much religion today, and even that works mentality that many believers still struggle with. There is no self-made man. Jeremiah 1 and 5, the Lord said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Can you imagine that God knew you while you were still in the womb? But He said this, Before I formed you. Every one of us has been made by God. As individuals and as a people, He made us. Psalms 100 and verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture." We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It is He who made us. Pride makes us want to say, "Well, I did this, and you know, and I made the right choices, and I deserve some credit here." But you better just give it to God. Give all the glory to Him. Give all the credit to Him. I'm telling you, our pride causes us to feel good about ourselves because we've accomplished something. It's much better to feel good about ourselves because God loves me and God is doing a work in my life by His grace. It is grace that's at work in us when we acknowledge Him in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "For who makes you different from anyone else?" Who makes you different from it? You know, these are questions that we kind of need to answer in our own mind. Who makes you different from anyone else? Well, now, if you're not getting the right answer, I'm going to help you. God does. Who makes you different from anybody else? You didn't make yourself different. God makes us different. What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you think about it long enough and hard enough, you'll figure out that ultimately every good thing in your life came from above. Every good thing in our life, it came from God. What do you have that you didn't receive? And you know what? Even in your character and person, everything we have, it was a gift from God. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Whatever gifts, abilities, intelligence, strength, determination we have, it is He that made us that way. So how can we boast as though we made ourselves? We are what we are by the grace of God. And when we understand that we are a work of God's grace. Now here's something that really ought to get some of you excited. When you understand that you are a work of God's grace, then it opens the door for God to work in your life. And who knows what you may become by the grace of God. You see, as long as we think that it's our intelligence and our wisdom and our choices and our character that has made us what we are, then it limits and hinders and keeps God's power from working in us. But when we humble ourselves and we realize it is God's grace, oh, what limit is there if it is God who is working in me? Now, this may sound really strange. I don't believe that God is going to raise you up and do great things in you if it's going to cause you to fall into pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Listen, the Lord doesn't want you to be destroyed. He wants to bless you. But here's the question, how much can He bless you without you falling into pride? If God just blesses you and graces you, are you going to begin to get prideful about it and think, "Oh, look at me now"? James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace." We're talking about grace. "But gives grace to the humble." He opposes the proud. King James says He resists the proud. Think about that. Does God actually oppose people? I can assure you that He does. He opposes the proud. He resists them. That's some opposition. I like that verse in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God opposes you, it doesn't matter who's for you. Amen. You are messed up and headed nowhere if God opposes you, and He opposes the proud. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. We're going to talk some more about the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 through 8. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it is has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Now, take special note of these next two verses, all right? I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach the Gentiles, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Paul had this great revelation of the grace of God that is available to the Gentiles. Now listen, it's for Jew and Gentile. In case you don't know what a Gentile is everybody that's not Jewish. So you're one of the two. But it is available to all of us, God's grace. And Paul had this revelation that the grace of God was also for the Gentiles. But listen to this. In verse 7 and 8, he says that he became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given him. It wasn't just because of his background and who he was and who he knew. See, that's the way we think too much today. No, it was by God's power that worked in his life through grace. He said, even though he was the least of all God's people, this grace was given to him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. What have you become by the grace of God? When we acknowledge that, when we acknowledge that anything good in our lives is by his grace, then we're ready also to believe what we can be by the grace of God. Now, why is it so amazing that God would use Paul? It just is such a great illustration to us, I'm telling you, because if God would grace the man Paul, Saul of Tarsus, like he did, then God can grace any of us. Paul was one of those who would have thought of himself as a self-righteous, self-made man. He was educated. He was a hard worker. He was religious. He was successful. I mean, he had everything going his way. Listen to this from Philippians 3, 4 through 6. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Wow. I'm telling you, by the standards of this world, this guy had it all together. Galatians 1, 13 through 16. He says, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Listen, he wasn't a nice guy. He was persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hurting people. And I want you to understand that if God can take somebody like him and by his grace turn him around and make a great man who's still impacting believers today, God, by his grace, can do something great in your life. He can change you and he can mold you and shape you. You are his workmanship. See, I want you to see this also in these verses here. He said that God called me, he set me apart from birth and called me by his grace. You need to know that God has a plan for your life. You are not a surprise to God. He knows exactly who you are. While you were still in the womb being formed, He knew you. And He has a calling on your life. Every believer needs to know that. By the grace of God, there's a call on your life. You know, there are some that have greater giftings than others, but it's still God's grace. It is God's grace that gifts them. But all of us are called by His grace for a purpose. You know, we see this truth over and over. It is God's grace that made Paul. He thought he had it all together, thought he was a self-made man, until finally he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized what a mess of a man that he was. He realized how messed up, how wrong he had been. And the grace of God forever transformed his life. He was a man that was full of pride, full of anger, full of resentment, full of bitterness, and full of religion, full of self-righteousness. Isn't it amazing that God transformed him? You know, so often the Lord chooses these unlikely candidates. How did He choose a Pharisee to be the one to go to the Gentiles? How about Moses, a man that tried to start his ministry by murdering somebody? You've made mistakes, so you think God can't use you. How about Gideon? When the Lord called him a mighty man of valor, he said, "But I am the least of the least. My family is nobody, and I'm nobody in my family." And you think that because you're a nobody, because your family's not this or that, or because you haven't accomplished this or that, you think that God won't use you? I'm telling you, it's by His grace. If you think you or your family aren't good enough, you just need to realize it's God's grace. How about David? When God chose him, the prophet Samuel said, "God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance." You see, nobody expected David to be the one that God would choose to be king. Now, the Bible tells us that David was handsome, but he didn't look like a king. In fact, when Samuel came to Jesse's house and said, "Bring your sons in, I'm going to anoint one of them to be king," they didn't even bother to get David. They just left him out with the sheep. And Samuel looked them all over, and some of them looked like they'd be great kings. But he said, "Is this it? You got any more?" And they brought in that young teenage boy, David. And Samuel said, "This is the one." I'm telling you, God chooses the unlikely candidates. Why? So that no one can boast before Him. We are what we are by the grace of God. Who would be the boldest in proclaiming the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Peter, the one who denied Him three times. When they said, "You were with Him," Peter cursed and denied that he even knew Him. And yet it is Peter that, by the grace of God, on the day of Pentecost, he stands and he proclaims the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people are saved that day. How? It's the grace of God. See, we have to realize that we are a work in progress, that God is not finished with us. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, Paul says, "I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Did y'all see that word "deserve" there? He says, "I don't even deserve to be called an apostle." Verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And you see, over and over and over, every strength, every gifting, everything in Paul's life, all of his ministry, all the authority, all the giftings, he gives it all to God's glory. That it is by God's grace, even his strength of character and his determination and work ethic, he says, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not I, but God's grace in me. There's three things we especially need to notice in those two verses. First, he didn't deserve it. It was grace. We got to understand that. If you deserve it, if you earned it, it's not grace. We don't deserve. We don't earn God's gifting and his blessing. It is by his grace. So don't think you deserve it or earn it, that you're better than others. There are so many today that think they deserve something. They're entitled. It's like God and the world owe something to them. I'm telling you, they will miss the grace of God because God's grace is free. And that kind of human pride God opposes. It's the humble that he gives more grace. Second, it's the grace of God that made me what I am. It is also that grace that will make you all that God wants you to be. And third, even his hard work and determination, he attributes to the grace of God. Even that was a grace that was given to him. We just can't get any credit here at all. I'm telling you, we need to learn to give God the glory. And the more that we do, I'm telling you, the more of his grace that will abide upon us, the more of his blessings will overtake us. There was a young man who was 17 years old, had a broken heart, was depressed, started to drink. Life just kind of messed up, headed the wrong direction fast. But by the grace of God, he was saved. And God turned his life around. And in just a few short months, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and called into ministry. And that young man who was saved and called, he was so shy that even though he was called into ministry, he thought to himself, well, I'll find something I can do for God where I never ever have to get up in front of any people. I'll be a Christian counselor. I'll find some way that I can serve in the body of Christ without ever having to be up front. Well, by the grace of God, that young man now pastors a great church in Burleson, Texas. It's called Grace Church. I got a wonderful wife and two great children. God has blessed me in every way. I've had 28 years of ministry of getting up in front of other people by the grace of God. 28 years, you say, well, you ought to be better at it by now. You just don't know how far I've come. It is by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, I am a recipient of his grace. I know what I'm talking about today. That I stand here this morning in this pulpit. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I want to challenge you and encourage you, first of all, to know that if you are anything at all, it is all because of God's grace. And there is no room for pride or boasting. God gets all of the glory. And second of all, to encourage you that don't limit yourself because, listen, you are not limited by your own abilities or goodness or your own weakness and faults. No, it is God's grace that is at work in us. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, I want to tell you, I worked hard. I've been willing to sacrifice. To give of myself. There were times when I tell you, many, many, many times it would have been easier to quit. And I watched others around me quit. And I just kept going. Well, Pastor, are you bragging? No, because what I want to say to you is that it was all the grace of God at work in me. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't have made it. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here. I'm telling you, but for the grace of God, I would be an alcoholic. But for the grace of God, I don't think I would be alive today. I'm telling you, it is God's grace at work in our lives. See this beautiful blessing I have here on the front row? People say, how'd you get a wife like that? The grace of God, His favor and blessing on my life. I'm telling you, I could say, you know what? Man, I can pick them. If you need some help, let me tell you, I can pick them, all right? But I'm telling you up front, even that is by the grace of God. It is just by God's grace. Whatever wisdom, whatever. You say, oh, well, I made the right choices. By the grace of God, I made some right choices. I tell you, God has outdone Himself when it comes to me. To use me, it is the grace of God. God's grace that He calls us and sets us apart for a purpose in our life. Galatians 1:15, Paul says, but when God who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, you need to know that God has a purpose for you, that He has set you apart and called you by His grace. Every single one of us, God has called you by His grace. 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9, listen to this. God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Wow. Before the beginning of time, God had this all planned out. That by His grace, He would call us to live a holy life. Call us to a purpose. His power, His blessings on our life, I'm telling you, it's limitless. And how do we receive? See, here's the key for us this morning. How do we receive of God's grace today? It's not by our goodness. It's not by our efforts. How do we receive of that grace? First of all, we have to know that grace works through faith. We read it back there in Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace works through faith because it's not about earning something. It is about believing. It is about trusting what God can do, not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in God's power and His love and His goodness, His working in our lives by grace through faith. See, I want to tell you, you have to believe. You know, when you get saved, you got to believe. If you don't believe, you can't be saved. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm telling you this morning, that grace is available to everybody, but if you don't believe, you can't receive it. Grace works through faith. And in our lives still today, you know, we talk about being saved, and I've talked about this a little bit in previous messages, but being saved doesn't just mean I'm going to heaven. Being saved means that you have been delivered, set free, made whole. It is saying that you have been removed from that dominion of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of His dear Son. See, being saved, it's talking about your whole life. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It is God's grace. When we believe that it is God's grace who has saved us. See, how can I be righteous? He doesn't just call me righteous. He made me righteous. How can that be? It is by grace, through faith. It's a free gift to us. And I just want you to understand that it's bigger. We need to understand that that same grace that got us born again, it is that same grace that makes us, if we are anything at all, for God. But you got to believe. You got to put your faith in Him, the God of all grace. Amen. And by His grace, He's able to make something great of your life. And like the Apostle Paul, I want to tell you, we all have made mistakes, but God's grace gives us the power to leave the past behind and move on to all God has for us. You know, when we accept His grace through faith, then pride has to go. There's no room for pride when we accept that it is all by God's grace. The second principle we have to know if we want to receive of God's grace working in our lives is that we have to humble ourselves. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Everybody get it now? He gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. If you want to be a recipient of grace, it's through faith. You got to believe. If you don't believe it, you ain't going to get it. You got to believe the word of the Lord. You got to believe what God wants to do. And then He says, He gives grace to the humble. Now, we exclude ourselves from the grace of God when we allow pride in our life. There can be no pride because it is something, it's not something that we have deserved or earned, but it is God's grace. You know, there are many Christians that, I'm just telling you honestly, they have way too much pride. They take way too much credit and they think way too much of themselves. And not really much different from the world in their attitude about their accomplishments. And rather than giving glory to God, they take the credit for themselves. We need to remember, we are those who have fallen upon grace. I didn't say fallen from grace. I said fallen upon His grace. Amen. That without Him, we're without hope. Amen. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. If we're anything, it is God's grace at work in us. Now turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read 7 through 12. This passage also makes it very clear that pride is in opposition to God's grace. If we want grace, we have to be humble. Paul says this, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me." Now, there are a lot of things that can be taught and talked about in through this passage. And I tell you, I hear so much conjecture and people trying to do some amazing theological acrobatics with this passage. But I'm just going to keep it very plain and simple. I'll leave the difficult things to other people. I want to talk about what I do know from this passage this morning. Just a couple of very simple truths. They're pertinent to the message this morning. Why did this happen? Now you can conjecture all you want to, but the Apostle Paul tells us very plainly. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Why did this happen? He said, "To keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from being puffed up with pride." But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know what? Everybody likes to brag about their strengths. And consequently, we don't give glory to God. Consequently, we become prideful. And consequently, we miss out on the grace that God wants to pour in and through our lives. In 28 years of ministry, I have never, ever not been able to stand in the pulpit and preach. I have never, ever been too sick. I've never, ever, when I led worship for years and years and years, there were times when I sounded like a frog, but there was never a time that I was not able to get up there and lead worship. You know what I'm going to tell you? It's by the grace of God. It is nothing but God's grace that no matter how I feel or what's going on in my life, God gives me the strength. He anoints. He helps me. It is just God's grace. And I refuse, I absolutely refuse to take any credit for that, because I know that it is just His gifting, it is His grace, His goodness to me that I don't deserve. And that includes this morning. Oh, just by the grace of God, I tell you, God, it is all Him. And we, listen, what does Paul say? He says, I will brag, I'm going to boast more gladly about my weaknesses. When's the last time you boasted about your weakness? No, we like to talk about our strengths. Boast about my weakness. Why? Because then the power of Christ rests on me. As long as we're talking about our strength and how I can do this and I can do that, and it's about us, then we're not going to have the power of Christ on us. It is His power that works in us when we're weak. When we acknowledge it is all God and not we ourselves. When we give the glory to God. And there is the third key to give all the glory to God. Because you see, when we truly humble ourselves before Him, when we realize that it is all by faith and we humble ourselves before Him, then the natural progression is that none of the glory, none of the credit belongs to me, but it all belongs to God. He gets all the glory. In every instance, I'll tell you, it is amazing as you read through the writings of Paul and how that in every instance he gives glory to God. Well, let's finish this out in verse 11. He says, I've made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles. I like the way the NIV makes that very current to today. Super apostles. Even though I am nothing. There's always those that think too much of themselves. But Paul says, listen, he says, I'm not inferior to them, even though I am nothing. See, to be humble doesn't mean that you think you're inferior to other people. That's not humility. No, but when we are humble, we acknowledge that it's all God and not us. He says, I am not inferior to any of them, even though I am nothing. What's he saying? We're nothing. It's all God. It is all God's grace. It is all His work in our life. It is the grace of God working in us. I am what I am by the grace of God. What can God do in you without you becoming prideful? Think about it. We have to always know that it's Him and that He gets all the glory. And we read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. We started there where he talks about how that God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one, I want you to notice verse 29, so that no one can boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We ought to brag on God all day long. Church, I'm telling you, this is the message of grace, that it's all God. It is His grace at work in us. And whatever good happens in us, whatever good we accomplish, if we are anything at all, we need to point people to Jesus, because it's not about us. It's not about our character and what we've done and how good we are. It is God's grace at work in us. And the lowliest person whose path you cross, I don't care how terrible you think they are. You think they're the scum of the earth. Let me tell you something. The only thing that separates you is the grace of God. And that same grace of God that worked in your life can work in their life. Isn't that amazing? Who knows but what God might do in that person? It is God's grace. By His grace, I am what I am. Well, I want to tell you a story. For some of you, it might be a little bit familiar. John Newton is the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He was an infidel. He was a slave trader. He lived a lifestyle that we would consider horrendous, a vicious, violent lifestyle as a slave trader. But through a process of events, somehow God saved his soul. God can save anybody. Oh, the grace of God. At age 82, he went to be with the Lord. Until that time, he never ceased to marvel at God's mercy and grace that had changed his life. In the last years of his life, while preaching, in a loud voice, he would say, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. I was a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior." He's buried at his church in Olney, England. And there's a marble tablet there with this inscription. It was written by him before he passed away. And they put it on a marble tablet near his grave. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. I'm telling you, that's the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Well, stand with me.